More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. When Boise and Scott Looney found himself divorced after 16 years of marriage, he was adrift spiritually as well as emotionally. And through spontaneous travel, as well as some unexpected friendships, Scott says he was able to reset his life. And he chronicles all of this in his new book. It's called Finding the Elixir. And Scott is joining us today to talk more about this. Scott, welcome to the program. So, Scott, let's start by you just telling us a little bit about yourself. You know, you're a lifelong Idahoan.
Absolutely. One of the few, one of the rare ones these days, I guess. But yeah, I grew up in Caldwell, Idaho, graduated there, went to Boise State, graduated there, I hate to say it, but three times. Well, I don't hate to say it. I'm proud of it, but probably two times too many. But yeah, I graduated from Boise State, and then I just stayed in Boise, and I've lived here ever since.
So as I mentioned, you were married for 16 years and with your former spouse for 18 years. And this divorce, at least initially, was not something that you wanted, or, you know, in the book you write that it was kind of unexpected for you.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, we had been having some issues leading up to it. So it wasn't like completely out of the blue, but I just thought the issues we could work through. And that turned out not to be the case, as happens to many, many people out there. So, yeah, I do write about it in my book, and it basically catapults me from super low sadness and tough times, wondering, like you said at the beginning, I was lost spiritually, emotionally, and it catapults me into this new reset of my life that actually, you know, sent me into higher levels of happiness. I was able to meet a lot of people and also hang out with friends and family, but also mm-hmm. meet a lot of new people and travel. It was great.
Well, so with that said, though, I mean, right, you have perspective of time and mm-hmm. of having had this experience. I am going to assume that in the beginning, you were not thinking, this is going to be great. I am going to find my way and find myself. And I am so glad this is happening to me.
Exactly. Yeah, I was probably the lowest low Gemma of my life, which I know it's it probably is hyperbole for some people hearing that. But I truly was. I've had a really good life, and that really set me back. And as it does most people. And I'm clear to note this in the book that I never once say my divorce was the worst of all time. It wasn't. But it did set me back, as most people feel when they get divorced. You know, it set me back and it had me wondering, where am I going to find happiness? Where and how and when will good things start happening to me again? And it turns out, you know, some of those answers started coming within the first 6 months. I'm very fortunate. I know it. Sometimes it takes less time for people, but a lot of times it takes more time for people who've been through divorce or a tough breakup or just any life transition, really.
Mm-hmm. And so you know, you break the book down into kind of like locations, right? Where you visit, right, and everything. And I kind of want to start with the first one, which is the Oregon coast. But this was a place that you and your ex-wife spent a lot of time at during your marriage. And you know, you said to some friends, like, I need to go back there. Why was that so important? Because, you know, a lot of your friends are like, why would you go there? Like, why in the world would you go back? I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like you're stabbing your own heart.
In a way, I was. That's a very, very apt description, honestly, because I felt that, and there were points at which, you know, along that drive, it's 9 hours to get there, that I felt that very acutely, where I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, this was probably not your best moment and decision. However, I do say, and you saw that in the book, I'm sure, where I do appreciate the fact that I did it for on many levels, but one of those was to kind of go back and face the idea that, okay, this is the closing of a door, and it does hurt. It really does, and it was terribly emotional. But I was able to kind of get a sense of like getting my footing back, and I was able to sort of get on my own 2 feet again, starting with that trip. And actually, although it was sad and it was bittersweet in most ways, I could see that there was some hope shining through the cloudy skies, metaphorically and literally.
You also write, there's a sentence in the book, you say that time and place have always been meaningful to you. And you refer back to some locations in downtown Boise where you and your wife would frequent. And when the divorce starts, you know, you tell her, I'm probably not going to go to those places for a while. And she just, you know, looked at you and just said, like, well, they always mattered more to you than me.
Right.
Well, you know, why? But I thought that was interesting, though, right? Where yes. It's kind of like, was that kind of like an aha of like, oh, like maybe, you know, I have a sentimentality that other people don't have, not even just your ex-wife. I mean, right. I think some people are very sentimental and some people just are not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what it was, Gemma. It opened my eyes to know that it wasn't just my ex-wife that felt that way. A lot of people feel that way, I've come to discover. And that's okay, you know. And speaking of the ex-wife, I wish her well. I hope she's happy and all the good stuff. You know, I've had people ask me if I've been in contact with her, and I haven't. But it's not out of any sort of, you know, evil plan or animosity. I truly wish her well. But that moment really did kind of open my eyes to the idea that, man, I do appreciate time and place. And so I'm going to keep doing that kind of stuff, which, you know, it means going to the coast and going to, you know, some of the places, even locally, like, you know, Boise and up to McCall as often as I do. But it's those kind of things that started to get me opening my mindset and my mind just in general to like, hey, it's okay to be you. You don't have to change to be anybody, you know, that's anybody else is expecting. I'm not saying that very eloquently, but, you know, it let me know that, man, time and space do matter. Time and place do matter to me. And I really appreciate who and where I go to places with and what we do while we're at those places. And some people just don't. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I do write about that a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm. You do. You really do. And how that's meaningful to you. So how did this process become a book? I mean, because you take these trips and we'll get into right. some more of them, especially this whole baseball analogy thing you've got going on in it. But how did this, you know, but how all of a sudden was it like, you know, I could see writing this down just yourself, right? Personal reflection. Right. But what was it about, I'm going to turn this into, you know, a published book?
You know, that is a great question, because initially I had no plans for it at all. I was just experiencing life. I was trying to, you know, feel better emotionally, spiritually, everything. And as I was continuing this process over the, you know, first couple of years post-divorce, I started going on some amazing travel adventures. Some were planned, but very many were not. And they were just these things. And I was a very type A person, especially back then, where I needed to have everything mapped out and planned ahead. Anybody will tell you that. I sort of became a little bit closer to type B over the process of the last, you know, decade or so, especially those first couple of years. I started going on spontaneous trips with people I didn't know. And I'd meet more people on the way. I'm a people person. So that's not hard for me to do. My mom always says, you know, I've never met a stranger. And she's right. But that whole journey, it kind of led me down this path of just like, you know, there are things to go out and explore and there are things to go out and do. And all the different places that I was able to travel to, really, I wrote them down. I journaled them without any thought at all about it becoming a book. It didn't once cross my mind until a couple of years ago, some of my siblings had mentioned it and some friends. They're like, man, all those adventures you used to go on, and I still do. They weren't used to, but especially right after the divorce, they said, have you ever thought about a book? I'm like, no, not really. And then COVID hit, and I found myself with a little bit of time on my hands that I could actually start a book. So I did.
And how important is it to you as you were writing this to realize and probably recognize that through all of this time you've had and the travels and the people that you have met, that you know, there are probably similar stories to you, right? And also absolutely. That that other people go through, as you said, whether it's divorce, whatever type of tragedy it is, and how do we make it to that other side, right?
Right.
And because I think that that can be so painful, and sometimes it can be easier just to remain on the side where it's comfortable, even if it's painful.
Absolutely. Well, and it's interesting, Gemma, because as I was going back and reading my journals, this is in 2020 when I was starting the book, it was March and April of 2020. And as I went back to look at my journals, because I kind of wanted to refresh what I was going through, back in the day, back in, 10 years ago. And it really threw me for a loop because it sent me back into the painful, tough times. Our brains are powerful things. And when you read the raw emotion that I was writing with in those journals, by the way, I put an excerpt of my actual journals into every chapter of my book to kind of, introduce where I was at that particular time. And even though by 2020, I was long over my divorce, I was, completely on the other side and doing really well, emotionally, happiness, spiritually, all the good stuff. Those journals really dredged up a lot of painful memories that were really hard to process. And I felt myself having dreams again and going through some of the stuff. And so it was weird how powerful that was to bring back, even though I was long over the divorce, it did bring that back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everyone's got different experiences. And I hope with my book and writing this, I hope that when people read it, like you said, whether they went through a divorce or just life transition, career changes can do this to people too. I hope that they understand that my way was kind of planned to travel, and then a lot of unplanned travel and other things too. But that was my way out. That was my way of kind of transcending the hurt and the pain and the emotion and getting to that other side.
Okay, so I mentioned this earlier, so we do need to talk about this. And this is the whole baseball analogy that you have in quite a bit of the book. All right. As you said in the book, you said everything comes back to baseball, and you even called yourself, well, I was a free agent after I got divorced. I thought it was pretty funny, but you kind of have this, you wanted to go to Major League Baseball stadiums. And this is, I think there's a lot of people out there who kind of have that bucket list, but why is, baseball and finding these symbols within baseball and everything, what is it about that helped you?
I think, and that's a wonderful, wonderful question. I love this. The thing that I think, and I mentioned this in a podcast episode, I think it was chapter 7, that I talk about the connection that I've always had with baseball goes back to when I was a child. I think I started playing baseball at 6 or 7 years old and just fell in love with the game. It's in my blood and my family's blood. And so I guess when I was resetting my life after the divorce, baseball was there for me, as funny as that sounds to some people. It is there for you. Baseball is, from March through October, and they play literally every day. Somebody's playing. And so it is a powerful metaphor, but also a simple metaphor. It's just something that I've always had in my life, and it's been there, and I can count on it. Unlike certain things that happen in our lives, and certain people that we have in our life, and so at its basic elemental level, that's what it was. And then the whole idea of being able to travel and go on sort of a baseball ballpark bucket list quest, which a lot of people have done. A lot of people have turned books into, or those adventures into books, which I would love to do, but I'd be copycatting if I did. But that has been my way of like, hey, I have a goal every year. I want to see this stadium, this stadium, this stadium, and enjoy the journey along the way. It's not just about the destination.
Yeah. So before I let you go real quick, what do you hope people take away from this book when they pick it up?
Yeah, I want people to see that, you can make it through and you will make it through. It takes a little bit more time for some than others, and that's fine. There's no set timetable on things like this with life transitions. But mine lasted quite a while, and a year or two at least. And, it was a very tough transition. And I think my book and my stories, I hope, they're not just all sad and down. In fact, most of them are upbeat. And I try to show that, things do get better and they will get better. I don't know when, but they will get better. And so I want people to get hope from my book, but I also hope people, you know, take away the gratitude piece. Gratitude is such an important part of my life and most people's lives. If you show and feel gratitude, your life already is better than most people. And then the more things you do and more people you meet, I think, you know, most people will find that gratitude kind of drives the car a little bit.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.